Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. And once again, I say unto my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say, thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the Old King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I am staying excited because tonight we will still be in the Book of Psalms. And you know the Book of Psalms has a personal place in my heart because of the beauty that is in this writing, bows to us the most beautiful verses that I think that are written in our Bible. And it is worthy to note that King David did not write all of the Psalms. He only wrote 73 of the 150 that are in our canon. 12 were written by Asaph. 2 were written or ascribed to by Solomon. 1 was written by Moses. 1 was written by Ethan. And the other 12 were written by the sons of Korah. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, meaning your laptops, your tablets or Bible apps or even regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Now, another reminder, every 5 minutes or so, we will take what I like to consider a commercial break, during which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. Our host of the show has set up a chat room that you can go directly in and have dialogue with me and leave questions for me. Now, I would like to personally take this time to thank those of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on the show. The comments and the advice that you are giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I am using. So thank you so very much. Our theme song for the show, as always, suggests the question is this for this hour. Are you standing on the promises of God and of Jesus Christ? Jesus said, whosoever hear my sayings and does them, I liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock. But he that does not, like a foolish man that built his house upon sand. That's taken from Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 26. Now, the promise is that if you keep the sayings of Jesus Christ, then you will be bedrocked with success. Jesus said again, these things have I spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's taken from John, chapter 16, verse 33. And again, the promise is that if you receive the words of Jesus Christ and perform them, you will have peace. The next Jesus said, "These things have I spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, that your joy might be full." And that's taken from John chapter 15, verse 11. And again, the promise is that if you respond to what Jesus has said and keep his words, you will have joy. Now, the question again for this hour is, are you standing on God's promises? Now, before we go to the lesson, I want to let all of you know, as I always do, I reinforce this because of the significance that the Bible is written in code, meaning written in mysteries, in secrets, in parables, in prophecies, in proverbs, in paradoxes, in riddles, and in symbols. And the only way to break the code is through study and learning. And that's why we're having these sessions, these Bible studies, so we can learn from the studies. Now, let's get to the study. We're going to go back to Psalms 119. We've been in 119 for the last couple of sessions, and there are so many instructions taken out of Psalms 119. That's why we're still there. Now, this is the verses, or these are the verses we're going to look at, verse 142, 151, and 160. And this is the instruction, my precious brothers and sisters, that I want you to take from the psalm that I'm going to read to you. This is truth. Now, we know that Jesus told us that ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And as I mentioned in the promises, that if we keep the words and do what the words tell us to do, then we will build our house upon rock, and that we will be not shaken from anything that besets us this side of eternity. Now, this is how David illustrated it or rehearsed it to Israel. Psalms 119, verse 42, it says, "Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth." Again, not knowing Jesus Christ, because he had not come yet, David put all of his marbles in this basket. He identified the law of God being truth. Now, verse 51 continues. It says, "Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth." And again, he is identifying the commandments that, of course, are in the law as truth. And verse 160, he completes the thought by saying, "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." God tells us that his word, or David tells us that God's word is true. And we know that the rehearsal that Moses gave Israel in the desert when they were eating the manna from heaven, that God said, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded forth from the mouth of God." So that's so significant. Now let's go to our New Testament compliments. Turn with me, if you will. We're going to go to John chapter 14, verse 6. And this is what Jesus said. This is the culmination of all of what David rehearsed to Israel. Jesus said, "I am the way." This is in verse 6 of chapter 14. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." That is what we should focus on today, Jesus Christ and everything that he said and did. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, my precious brothers and sisters, that Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost, the law of God, the word of God, the commandments of God will give you the truth. That means basic instructions before leaving earth, B-I-B-L-E. Even though Jesus is identified exclusively or primarily in the New Testament He's still the word and the law and the commandments of God in the Old Testament. Okay, now let's go back to our next instruction. It's instruction number 191. And before we continue, let's go to our first break.
Talking to people who have a vision and don't have the provision. I'm talking to millennials who are tired of sitting on their mama's couch. Yeah. I'm talking to people who have bought into the myth that because you're 60-something, you're old.
Wow.
And you think your life is over because you got a retirement watch. And yet you are productive and you're bright and you are literally aging and getting stiff because you don't move.
Wow.
And I am telling you that you can be fruitful in every season of your life.
Yeah.
We have to have something that scares us.
Right.
Yeah. Your greatest miracle will always be in your scary place.
That's good.
God is going to do the greatest work in your life with your eyes peeled back like this. When the Wright brothers, of whom the book is metaphorically discussing, the audacity, two grown men with no degree in middle America, standing on the ground, to look up at an eagle in the heaven and say, I belong up there. Do you know how ridiculous it was? They didn't have the money, they didn't have the education, they didn't have the training. And they said, I belong up there. And they built a machine to reach their dream. That's what business is. A machine you build to reach your dream. Now, let's talk about the Eagles for a minute, because the mother eagle, after sitting on eggs, protecting it with her life until they hatch, and going out and swimming and attacking prey and bringing back food until they grow, then turns around, the same feet that fed them and the same body that warms them takes them out to cliffs and throws them over the edge. It is not that she has turned against her children, but she knows that they will never find their wings in safety. The eaglet learns to fly by confronting its scary place. And it's not even trying to fly. It's falling and flapping and thinking mama is crazy. I'm calling Child Protective Services. I gotta get out of this. But in the process of falling and flapping and falling and flapping and falling and flapping and flapping and flapping and flapping and flapping and flapping and flapping. That's how you get your wings. Because fear releases my adrenaline glands.
Wow.
It makes me stronger than I would normally be. It makes me able to fight or flight based on what the situation is. Fear keeps me alive when I walk into a strange situation. It lets me know, be careful. All of my senses go on edge. My hearing perks up. My body tenses and prepares for battle. Fear is a favor God gives you. He didn't give you the spirit of fear, but he gave you fear to get your adrenaline going. Fear makes you study harder. Fear makes you work harder. Fear makes you pray harder. Fear makes you walk upright. When you know that there are so many people hoping you fall, fear will make you walk upright.
Wow.
Fear will make you withstand the test. You need healthy fear. Tonight, when you go home, you need to drop down on your knees and say, God, scare me again.
Come on.
Greatness festers in isolation and frustration. You only win if you don't quit. You only win if you don't quit. If you go through the dark place and the tough place and the scary place and the flapping and falling place, every great leader will be tested by pain. Nobody escapes.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let us go to the next instruction, 191, and we're going to go back to Psalms 119, and we're going to look at one verse this time, verse 165 in Psalms 119. And this is the instruction that I want you to take from the reading of the verse, which is almost verbatim. Great peace have they which love thy law. That's the instruction I want you to take from this verse. And the verse says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Now, we know that peace is so significant. In fact, Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 says, thou shalt be kept in perfect peace, whose eyes are stayed on thee and whose mind is stayed on thee, because they trust in thee and believe in thee. That's how phenomenal, that's how significant peace is. And this, now we're going to go to the New Testament complement. We're going to look at John again, chapter 14, verse 23, or 30, 27. John chapter 14, verse 27. And this is what Jesus said about this peace. Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. So let your heart be not troubled, neither let it be afraid. So peace is so significant in our lives. And we're talking about the peace that passeth all understanding. And that peace that Paul identified in one of his letters is the peace of reconciliation back to God. That's the bottom line. All of the other entities or appendages that come, attributes that come from peace, that is reconciliation back to God, we will talk about in a minute. But that's so significant. And now in John chapter 16, verse 33, it gives again what we just mentioned a minute ago. John chapter 16, verse 33 says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye may have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Remembering the promises that we brought up earlier, that this is what Jesus said, that if you, this is why he's given us his word to follow, that if we rely on his word, if we do his word, we're going to have that peace, even though we're going to have tribulations in the world. And that peace comes from the fruit of the Holy Ghost. And that fruit is long-suffering. And that is going to help us get through with patience and with endurance, with steadfastness and perseverance. That's going to help us get through. And that's what's key. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. That tranquility, which is an attribute of reconciliation back to God, and serenity and reconciliation to God, is the transcendent peace that we should seek. That's the transcendent peace that we should seek, my brothers and sisters, that reconciliation back to God. And that's what Jesus gives us. All right, let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go to instruction number 192, and this time we're going to look at seven or eight verses from Psalms 119, and I want you to keep in mind as I read the verses to you, when I identify them, that this is the instruction I want you to pay attention to. Your tongue and your lips should speak this. My brothers and sisters, David is giving Israel a rehearsal on how they should speak with their articulators, their mouth, their tongue, their lips. This is what it should say. And this is what Psalms 119, verse 71 starts off with. It says, my lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. So we should be praising the Lord. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. And the tongue should talk about the word of God. Let's go down to verse 75. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let my judgments help me. So thou the soul, if it lives, it will speak with praise and worship to God. Verse 131 is the next verse that we're going to add to this, and it says, I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. So you should want to only talk about the word of God. Verse 13, again, it says in verse 13, we are going to see, it says, with my lips have I declared all of the judgments of thy mouth. Verse 26 continues, I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. 27, make me to understand the ways of thy precepts, so that I shall talk of thy wondrous works. That is, my brothers and sisters, our commission to plant and water. We need to understand God's precepts before we can disseminate his word. Verse 43 continues. It says, and take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgment. And finally, verse 46 concludes the thought by saying, I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. All right. In fact, I'll add verse 120, 1 through 4, and this is what verse or Psalms 120, 1 through 4 completes the thought. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given unto thee, or what shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue? Sharp arrows of the mighty with coals of juniper. Woe is me, and I will dwell in the tents of Kedar. My soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. And that tells us about the war that is going on in our members. Because of the knowledge of good and evil and the knowledge of everlasting life, the flesh against the spirit against the flesh. Well, we know James is going to tell us, which we are going to in a minute, about the significance of that. Our articulators are very important to spreading the word of God, our lips, our tongue, and our mouth. And we should have them worshiping God, praising God, sharing the word of God to as many as we meet and greet. Like I mentioned earlier, we should be planting and watering by preaching and teaching, by witnessing and testifying, by admonishing and edifying, by seeking and sharing the word of God with as many as we meet and greet. And now let's go to our New Testament compliment. Let's go to James chapter 3, verse 2 and verse 13. And this is how James tells us about the power of one of our articulators, the main articulator, the tongue. This is what James says about the tongue in chapter 3, verse 2. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? That if you offend no man in word, you are considered a perfect man, as James is saying. And verse 13 completes the thought. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. That is so significant, my brothers and sisters, and this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we should watch our mouth, close it quickly when it gets carried away with gossip or otherwise. The articulators, should be used for edifying, admonishing, praising, and worshiping exclusively. That's what I want you to get from this particular instruction. And now let's take a break before we go to the next instruction.
I don't know whose prayer I'm breaking into, but I'm breaking into somebody's prayer. said, Lord, why do I keep going through the same things over and over again? I go to church now, I tithe now, I shout now, I leap now, and the Lord sent me here to tell you, it's no problem with your sentence, the problem is with your default. Until you change your default, you will always go back to being who you were before, because you have never changed your mind. The devil can't do just anything to you. People can't do just anything to you. Life can't do just anything to you. I don't care how little you are, there is nothing as powerful as a change. Lock somebody and tell them, I changed my mind. As long as you're programmed with what you can't do and what you can't be and what you can't have, you will never get up. But I dare you to go into your phone booth like Clark Kent and spin around and come out Superman and say, wait a minute, I'm better than this. I'm getting ready to change my default setting. I will not die crackhead. I will not let you abuse me. I will not stay. There is nothing as powerful. The prodigal son was in the hog pen, surrounded by the swine, about to eat that the pigs ate. And all of a sudden, the Bible said he came to himself. He didn't change his clothes. He didn't change anything else. All he did was change his mind. The pigs couldn't hold him. The pen couldn't hold him. The disgrace couldn't hold him. The embarrassment couldn't hold him. I dare you to change your...
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're on instruction number 193, and let's go to Psalms 121 now. And we're going to look at verse 1 through 8, Psalms 121, verse 1 through 8. And as I read the text to you, I want you to keep in mind this instruction. The Lord God will help us if we obey. That is the key to our help, is obedience. The Lord God will help us if we obey. And this is how David rehearsed it to Israel. David said in Psalms 121, verse 1, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be removed. He that keepeth them will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon the right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming from this time forth and forevermore. That is what David rehearsed to Israel. The key is obedience, and that is so significant. And let's go now to Romans chapter 8, and we're going to see how Paul told the Romans, comparing and agreeing, that this is the significance of obedience. Romans chapter 8, verse 31, Paul says, what shall we say then to these things? If we're obedient, God will be for us. And who can be against us? He goes, let's go to verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ if we are obedient? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or darkness or peril or nakedness or sword? Verse 38 continues, it says, Paul tells the Romans, I am persuaded that if I'm obedient, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is, we are obedient. my precious brothers and sisters, and this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. There is a song that says, trust and obey, for there is no other way. Through our obedience, we are sustained by God, regardless of our circumstances. He promised to see us through anything that confronts us. You hear that, my brothers and sisters? We must trust and obey. We must, despite, as Job experienced, the rebuff of those who were against him, including his wife, Job would not relent God. He says, though he slay me, I will trust in him. And what did God do? God rewarded Job, gave him twice as much as he had before, because he did lose some during his suffering and tribulations. That's what I want you to get out of this, my brothers and sisters, that if we obey God, he will help us. All right, let's go back now to Psalms 122. We're going to look at verse 1 through 5. And here again, this is David rehearsing to Israel what they should do in order to be successful in their lives with God. And the text or the instruction that I want you to take from this is instruction, be glad to go into the house of God. Now, we are so fortunate today, my precious brothers and sisters, because the house of God, the tabernacle of God, is with men. Oh, my God, the indwelling. But we must have the indwelling. At this time, Israel is not receiving the Holy Ghost because Christ had yet not come. So that indwelling was not available to them. So they had to go into the temple that was built by Solomon so that they could be in God's presence. So this is why the instruction says, be glad to go into the house of God. And this is how David put it to Israel. Psalms 122, verse 1 through 5. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together. Whether the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord, for there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. And that is what Solomon or David is telling Israel, that because the temple is built, that's where we should go. And of course, the temple had been built at that time, but they did have a tabernacle and a tent, and they did carry the Ark of the Covenant around with them. So that is what David was replying to. Now let's go to our New Testament complement, and we're going to see what Jesus says, Matthew chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. Now this is why we should be glad that the residing of God's temple is within us. This is what Jesus said. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manners of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecute they the prophets which were before you. And to substantiate you before you get to heaven, you have the indwelling. And within the indwelling, you receive the gifts and fruits of the Holy Ghost. Among other things, you are guided in all truth. You're taught all things of God. You will get through whatever confronts you and besets you this side of eternity because you're in the temple or because you have the indwelling. That is what's significant about what Jesus said there. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that when we go into our closets, as Jesus instructed us, we will be rewarded by God personally because God is within us. And that is what I want you to understand, my brothers and sisters. Our instructions from the Lord is when you pray, go into your closet. When you give alms, go into your closet. When you fast, go into your closet. And God, knowing you doing these things because he's within you, dwelling, will reward you openly. And now let's take a break before we go to our next instruction.
I want to focus on that wonderful concept, that vital virtue that unfortunately and regrettably is often forgotten, the virtue of kindness, being kind. I want you to hear a story. 20 years ago, I drove a cab for a living. When I arrived at 2:30 in the morning, the building was dark except for a single light in a ground floor window. Under these circumstances, many cab drivers would just honk once or twice, wait a minute, then drive away. But I had seen too many impoverished people who depended on taxis as their only means of transportation to drive away. Unless the situation smelled of danger, I always went to the door. So I walked to the door and knocked. "Just a moment," answered a frail, elderly voice. After a long pause, the door opened. A small woman in her 80s stood before me. By her side was a small nylon suitcase. "Would you carry this bag out to the car for me?" she said. I took the suitcase out and returned to assist the woman. She took my arm and walked slowly toward the curb. She kept thanking me for my kindness. "Oh, it's nothing," I told her. "I just try to treat all my passengers the way I would want my mother treated." When we got in the cab, she gave me an address. Then she said, "Oh, by the way, could you drive through downtown? It's not the shortest way." "Oh, I don't mind. I'm in no hurry. I'm on my way to a hospice." I looked in the rearview mirror and her eyes were glistening. I don't have any family left," she said, almost to herself. "The doctor says I don't have very long." I quietly reached over and shut off the meter. "What route would you like me to take?" For the next 2 hours, we drove all around the city. She showed me the building where she had once worked as an elevator operator. We drove through the neighborhood where she and her husband had lived when they were newlyweds. She had me pull up in front of a furniture warehouse that had once been a ballroom where she had gone dancing as a girl. Sometimes she'd ask me to slow down in front of a particular building or corner. She would sit staring into the darkness, saying nothing. As the first hint of sun was creasing the horizon, she suddenly said, "Okay, I'm ready. Let's go now." We drove in silence to the address she had given me. It was a low building. Two orderlies came out to the cab. As soon as we pulled up, they were solicitous and intent, watching her every move. They were expecting her. I opened the trunk, took out the small suitcase, carried it to the door. The woman was already seated in a wheelchair. "How much do I owe you?" she asked. "No, you don't owe me anything," I said. "Oh, you have to make a living," she answered. "Oh, there are other passengers," I responded. Almost without thinking, I bent over and gave her a hug, and she held on to me tightly. "You gave an old woman a little bit of joy," she said. "Thank you." I squeezed her hand and walked into the dim morning light. Behind me, a door shut. It was the sound of the closing of a life. I drove aimlessly, lost in thought for the rest of the day. I could hardly talk. What if that woman had gotten in an angry driver earlier that morning, or one who was impatient? What if I had refused to take the run, or had honked once and driven away? On a quick review, I don't think I have done anything more important in all my life. I love that story. It sort of helps me allow life to make up its mind again. You need to remember that story. At times you will want to be anything but kind, because it is so much easier to bear a grudge and hate in return, or get back, or get even. Hate destroys the vessel it's kept in. Revenge never healed a wound. There's one thing all of us have in common. We've been mistreated by somebody. Some of you have known abuse, misunderstanding. And all of this has a way of siphoning your tank of kindness. It can make you hard. You can get on with hard. You can get along with it. In fact, some will even respect you more because you're tough. But I urge you not to be. Be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. When I'm truly free of revenge and bitterness, there is plenty of room in my heart left for kindness. And not until. Do what's right. Do justice. Love kindness. Walk humbly with your God.
Maybe you were born.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're on instruction number 195. And this is the Psalm verse that I want to read to you. It's Psalms 122, verse 6, just one verse. And this is the instruction. Pray for Jerusalem. And this is what David rehearsed to Israel about that. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. This is David telling all that because this is the city of God, that those who pray for the city of God shall prosper. But let me tell you, my brothers and sisters, we know that Jesus in John chapter 17, verse 1 through the whole chapter made a prayer that was so significant for not only the disciples of Jesus, the Christians, but also for all others that come into being that respond to that prayer. Just like what David is telling Israel, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, which we do today because of the fact that we know that that God wills that all mankind be saved. Prayer is so significant. And now we're going to go to our New Testament complement. We're going to go to Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. And this is how Paul put it that gives us, again, the severity of prayer. This is what Paul told the Philippians in chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, remember we talked about that peace that passeth all understanding, meaning that reconciliation back to God that gives us tranquility and serenity and solace and all the other attributes of peace, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That is so significant why we should pray. Because that is what we are instructed and commanded to do. And if we do what we are instructed and commanded to do, then our house will be built upon a rock, and we will be successful this side of eternity. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we should communicate with God on everything we do. The most be, he must be our counselor if we are going to be successful with him. We must talk to him and receive instructions. That is what I'm trying to get to you out of this instruction spiritually. That is what you should be doing, my brothers and sisters. Now let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go to 196, and we're going to go to Psalms 123, and we're going to read verse 1 and 2. We're going to take two verses in Psalms 123, And what I want you to do is keep in mind this instruction while I read the verses to you. Keep your eyes on God. Remember, we already made mention, thou shalt be kept in perfect peace, whose eyes and mine are stayed on thee, because they trust in thee and because they believe on thee. That's what Isaiah taught Israel in his prophecy. So we know how significant keeping your eyes on God is. And this is what Psalms 123, verse 1 and 2 says about it. Unto thee lift I up my eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of the servant look unto the hands of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hands of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he has mercy upon us. So we can see how significant this is. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. That today, because we have the Bible, 66 books and more, we can know more than those who came before us, because we have more written documentation. So our eyes go through Genesis through Revelations, and we will know more of what to do in keeping our eyes on God and receiving the gifts and fruits therefrom. And now let's go to our commercial or our break before we continue. This will be our last break.
Time is short. My king is coming soon. Because eternity matters, I will give him my all today. No regrets, no excuses, holding nothing back. With his help and by his power, I will leave no words unsaid, no deeds undone, no hope unshared. My faith moves mountains. My prayers calm storms. My words give life. My hands bring healing. My feet deliver the good news that Christ is risen and is coming again. God's word is a lamp directing my steps. His spirit is my power. When I'm weak, he makes me strong. Because Christ is coming, I will not back down, sell out, or be pushed around. My life is too valuable. My calling too great. My God too good to waste my life on things that don't last. I am empowered by God's Spirit, trained by his word, tried by fire. My name is written in his book. My life belongs to him. Because my life is not my own and earth is not my home, I will live for the glory of God and not for the applause of men. I am strong in the Lord and in his mighty power to do his will on earth as it is in heaven. Because Christ lives in me, trials will not stop me. People cannot break me. Money cannot buy me. Haters cannot silence me. Demons cannot defeat me. Time is short. My king is coming soon. Because eternity matters, I will give him my all today. No excuses, no regrets, holding nothing back. With his help and by his power, I will leave no words unsaid, no deeds undone, no hope unshared. Because Maranatha, our King is coming soon.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's go to instruction number 197. And this is the psalm that we're going to take the instruction from, Psalms 124, verse 1 through 7. Psalms 124, verse 1 through 7. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. The Lord God saves us. This is what David rehearsed to Israel, that it is the Lord God that saves us. No man can save us. And we know how significant that is. The prophet Isaiah, he says, God said through the prophet Isaiah, I am he, and there is no other savior besides me. And then we know that when we go into the New Testament, we hear that salvation, the Lord God saves only through Jesus Christ. Paul tells us that through grace, by faith and hope and love, are we saved. And that is that grace is Jesus Christ, the free gift of God to man. So now this is what David rehearsed to Israel about that salvation. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, it had not been for the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quickly when thy wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us. The streams had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our souls. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. As many times as Israel was subjected to captivity, God still saved them. The Bible constantly says that he will save his remnant, that his arm is outreached still for those who return from their wicked ways and repent. He over and over again showed that to us. And this is what John chapter 3, verse 16 says about it. And this is Jesus, or this is what John writes, how Jesus, how God so loves us that he saves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That is the only prerequisite that we have, my brothers and sisters, to God's love saving us. It is his Son, Jesus Christ. And we know again through Scripture, Isaiah said that every knee shall bow and every mouth shall confess. And it was reiterated in, I think, the book of Hebrews, that every mouth shall confess and every knee shall bow. And that is to Jesus. So this side of eternity is critical. On the other side of eternity, I cannot tell you what will happen except what the Bible says, that you will be lost. So that is the key. Jesus Christ saves today. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that all those who believe in Jesus Christ have a chance at salvation to God. If we obey him, that is the only prerequisite to being saved. We must obey what God says about his son Jesus being the grace that saves us. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go to instruction 198. We're going to go this time to Psalms 125. We're going to read verse 3 through 5, Psalms 125, verse 3 through 5. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the verse to you. The wicked and the righteous. This is so significant, my precious brothers and sisters, because we are under judgment because of our wickedness. And so I submit to you that the bookends of our existence starts with righteousness and it ends with judgment. And we are caught in between righteousness and judgment. And so what David is rehearsing to Israel right now, or in the Old Testament, in Psalms 125, 3 through 5, is about the wickedness and the righteous. And this is what David said to Israel. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands into iniquity. So if the righteous stay righteous, and we know that in the book of Revelations, in chapter 22, in the last of Revelations, towards the end of the chapter, it tells us, the Spirit speaking to the church, let those who are unjust be unjust still. Let those who are unrighteous be unrighteous still. And let those who are righteous be righteous still. And let those who are holy be holy still. Come, Lord Jesus. So we know that even up to the end, they're going to be wicked and righteous. And David is just now saying that those who are righteous that turn to iniquity shall be punished. Verse 4 says, do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity, but peace shall be upon Israel. So the wicked shall perish, and the righteous shall have salvation. That is what this is referring to. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 25, verse 23. Matthew chapter 25, verse 23. And this is what Jesus said about it. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Jesus gave us a parable that if you do what you are supposed to do righteously and not turn to wickedness, this is what is going to be the result. You shall receive salvation. And also, we have Matthew chapter 7, verse 23 through 22. Jesus again, Matthew chapter 7, verse 23 through 22, it says, and then profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. Therefore, whosoever hath these sayings of mine and does them, I liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And verse 22 says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wondrous things? And the Lord will tell them, get away from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. It should mean because of repentance and faithfulness through Jesus, we have reprieve from our wickedness. That is our only righteousness. Because of repentance and faithfulness, my brothers and sisters, I want you to remember that. That is the only reason that we get a reprieve from wickedness. And now let's go to the next and final instruction for this evening. We're going to go to Psalms 126, and we're going to look at verse 1 through 6. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. Captivity reaps this benefit. Captivity reaps this benefit. And this is so critical because we want to be captured. We want to be a part of godliness and not a part of unrighteousness or wickedness. And this is what Israel, or what David rehearsed to Israel. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like unto that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and reapeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, being his sheaves with him. So we know that captivity reaps benefit in this instance. So we want to be a part of that captivity. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that if God had not constrained us through his mercy, that our captivity, which gives us grace, then that's our benefit, and we would be lost forever. And that is so significant, my brothers and sisters. And that completes the lesson for this evening. And as we are about to cast off, I would like for you to understand that thanks and blessings from the host and I, we give you for your participation and encouragement. Good night.
you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I hope you are blessed by our program. Please join us every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Have a wonderful night.